Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:44 p.m. that is Central Time, and today is September 19th. Well, I thought we'd kick off with the S&P, because it finished up on the day, having opened down. And there has been quite the sell-off over the course of the last week, and ahead of the FOMC meeting on Wednesday. Well, I guess the decision on Wednesday. And markets are pretty steady in the conclusion that they're going to raise rates by 75 basis points. So the 10-year Treasury yield got up to 3.5% today and paused there. But it's still an uptrend, and it's a little overextended, so we might see some consolidation. But the reality is that inflation hasn't really yet been brought under control. But one thing for sure is that property prices are beginning to moderate. Certainly, if we look at the share prices of some of the property companies, they're not going up. So Zillow has been coming down now for quite a while. They tried to get into the market making business and it failed. Matt Levine has got a good point about market making in the property sector, and Open Door is trying to do that. They've got ads on the radio every day talking about sell us your house, and if the price goes up, we'll give you the difference, and you don't have to do anything to it, we'll do everything. And that works fine in a rising market, not so great in a falling market. And of course, with rising yields, then the mortgage rate is leaping higher. It's at 6% now. So this is, I think, really quite important to highlight, that when the interest rate's at 3%, for every 100,000 you borrow, you pay 421. When it's at 6%, you pay nearly 600. So that means that if you're, so that's $180. And if you're trying to buy, for example, a $500,000 house, well, you've got to come up with nearly $1,000. And that's every month that you need to pay more. So, well, you're going to either have to go out and find a second or a third job to find that extra $1,000, or you're going to have to just buy a cheaper house. So, obviously, interest rates have an impact on house prices. And this is something that's starting to come through just about everywhere. And obviously, if people then can't afford houses, then they're either going to be forced to rent. But one of the more important things is that when people buy houses, they buy lots of other stuff too. So when we look at the Baltic Dry Index, a lot of the stuff that people put in their houses comes from overseas. And the Baltic Dry Index was at a peak at the end of last year, then collapsed. And it's been rebounding over the course of the last couple of weeks, but without a really big boom in demand, then it's unlikely that it's going to be able to recover, and that we're probably now back into a choppy, rangy environment, probably somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000. On the other hand, the Baltic Dirty Index, which is for oil tankers, then that's also rebounding. And there's a lot of movement in the oil tanker sector, because you have, and of course, this is also true of LNG. Germany is scrambling to get additional supply. And they've been quite successful. But they've been successful because they're willing to pay any price. And now that they've basically filled, or not quite filled, but come close to filling their reserves, well, then they are slowing down in terms of purchases. And obviously, there's a reason for that. It's because they're reaching the physical capabilities of how much they can, in fact, store. So that's reduced prices. But it doesn't mean that the shortage of gas has been solved. We're still only at the beginning of are the cooling down season. So we're probably going to be in a higher for longer price environment. And that's obviously especially true for Europe. Natural gas prices in the US have also been moderating, and that's as a direct response to the less fervent demand for LNG exports. But the price was in positive territory in here today. So we're still seeing some support coming through here, and it's unlikely that prices are going to simply collapse on this occasion, and that's going to contribute to higher inflation overall. And oil prices are still holding steady around the $90 area. So we're at a rather interesting juncture here that the stock market has, and I guess the commodity markets have priced in that interest rates are going up by 75 basis points in the USA this week. And the dollar, having bounced emphatically about five sessions ago, has been really quite quiet over the last 4 days. Hasn't really been going anywhere. And of course, that's in large part because the euro is right in the region of this parity level. And it's an obvious area where investors might think that this is an opportune place where the euro could begin to find support. But of course, there's still a lot of uncertainty for the EU, and it's all centered around the energy sector. And German bunds are up to 1.8%. So it's not really all that long ago. In fact, really the beginning of this year when they were still in negative territory. So this is a really significant change of trend. And it's obviously something that's very problematic because we can take a country like Germany, where yields have been coming down for an exceptionally lengthy period of time. And for a couple of years, people were willing to pay Germany to take their money. And it looked like the most benign possible scenario for the country, that they could literally borrow as much as they wanted and people would pay them to take their money. It was considered to be such a good credit. And now you have this existential crisis where the corporate sector is under significant duress. So we're obviously looking at a really difficult environment, and energy prices are going to be problematic for at least the next year. And it's going to take time to build out these new trade routes. And Germany has been very keen to sign deals with Qatar and with the UAE to source new supplies of natural gas to alleviate dependence on Russia. But that's obviously something that's going to take time. And in the meantime, companies like Accelerate and Golar LNG, well, they're the only companies that have actually got floating regasification plants. And Europe is going to need as many of them as they can possibly lay their hands on. So, we had a little bit of a pullback last week, and now the shares are beginning to find support once more. But what this also helps to highlight is that there's also an urgency within the entire energy sector, because a lot of the grid around the world is old and needs to be replaced. I was reading the quarterly report for American Electric Power last night. So they've been actively investing in their grid, and they have the largest grid in the USA. So they're replacing their old towers with newer versions, which are stronger and more likely to stand up to heavy weather, and installing ultra high tension cables. I do remember that it's nearly 20 years ago when people were writing reports about the incredible bull market that would arise as a result of these investments in ultra high tension cables. And they never really came to fruition. But in fact, that investment is happening now. And there's a lot of worry in the investment community about how are we going to generate sufficient quantities of electricity to cater to the anticipated demand for the electrification of the transportation sector. And one thing I thought was also interesting is Volta, because it's not that Volta is suddenly going to turn into the biggest company in the world, and it's still in a base formation. But what they did announce in their second quarter earnings was that they're probably going to make more money from advertising than from charging. And that's an interesting development because everybody remembers having to pay AOL for the internet browser, and then free browsers arrived, and then nobody used AOL again. And Tesla has already pioneered free charging. They were offering free charging on their supercharger network for quite a while. Now they charge for it. And if Volta's designs, which have big displays for advertising, if those proliferate, well, then they might be able to offer free charging. And that would be seriously beneficial for consumers. It would remove a really significant challenge because all they would have to do is plug in. They won't have to pay for it, and then they just have to go find chargers. And if Volta can make money from basically putting up billboards on a small scale where people are definitely going to see them, well, then they have a route to put out a significant network of chargers. So there's definitely progress being made in terms of revitalizing the energy grid. The build out of solar, regardless of what's happening in terms of the copper price going down, which I continue to think is more about China than anything else, but the build out of solar is certainly continuing apace. The Inflation Reduction Act was a very clear catalyst for First Solar to break on the upside, but the wider technology sector of the solar sector is only still consolidating following a mild breakout from what was a well-defined range, and it's still consolidating above the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is happening despite the fact that the stock market has been quite weak, and that there's a clear risk we're going to have a recession. So this energy transition is going to happen one way or another, because energy self-sufficiency is now a major concern, and it's no longer about a nice to have. And now it's about a necessity, and every country understands that today. So, renewable energy is certainly a way to do that. So is uranium, and the GlobalX uranium ETF pulled back over the last week, but then has rebounded somewhat in here today. So there's, I think, still the potential here that it hasn't quite fired the imagination of investors yet, but it does look likely to. So we're certainly in an interesting environment from the energy sector generally. But of course, higher energy prices overall, they put pressure on everything. Now, Mosaic was up in quite a dynamic manner in here today. It's not easy to increase supply of agricultural products when energy prices are high. And then when we think about the kinds of solutions that companies like Nutrien are providing, they can through deploying sensors on fields, in fact, provide better yields at a lower price and lock in customers for the long term. So that's certainly beneficial, and the share is also bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, let's just think about the more risky portion of this market. Apple was up in a dynamic manner in here today. But nothing has really happened to question that this is a cyclical sector. And investors are willing to make a bet right now that the interest rate hike this week has already been fully priced in. But as we continue to see interest rates rising, property markets rolling over, it's and then less demand for consumer goods, particularly from the new home buyer sector, then it's going to roll over into less demand from consumers. One of the most important things about the yield curve spread is how lengthy the lead indicator is. We're now at a negative 44 basis point inversion. And we haven't been at this kind of inversion since 2000. So we can certainly think about financial conditions tightening up. And there's nothing has really suggested that this tightening is over. So a recession is inevitable. It means that one doesn't really have to be in a hurry to go off and buy opportunities. It's quite clear where some of the money is going because additional liquidity has been created and is moving into the alternative energy sector because of the hundreds of billions that have been committed through the Inflation Reduction Act. But that's just one small segment of the market. Now, breadth in the market is picking up. And a lot of the weakness we've seen recently was because of weakness in the FANG sector. But those companies were the biggest beneficiaries of loose credit and the evolution of 4G. Well, 4G is fully priced in, and now liquidity is tightening up. It's hard to imagine that those mega cap companies are going to continue to rally in an environment where liquidity conditions continue to tighten. So I think that we're still in this kind of situation where there's no real hurry to commit large sums of cash to the market just yet, because this is exactly the time where people get antsy. And I've had conversations with a number of people where they haven't been invested and they are still holding cash and have been holding cash for quite a while, and in some cases a decade. And now they're starting to get nervous that they might miss opportunities. But the market hasn't really topped yet, when or it hasn't broken downwards. Maybe we're going to get a higher reaction low, but I kind of doubt it. I think that we are due another step lower because the recession hasn't even started yet. And when we have such an inverted yield curve and we have central banks that are panicking about inflation, well, then a recession is inevitable. And when you get a recession, earnings deteriorate and unemployment rises. And obviously that hits consumer demand. So we can anticipate the market will price all of that in. And it's when we start to see significant progress in cutting interest rates. Well, then that's when we have confirmation that the liquidity cycle has turned around. But we're nowhere near that just yet. And I think with that, I'll leave it for today. And I'll wish all the best to all of you.